This is Ozarks at Large. This winter and spring, the Arkansas General Assembly discussed different proposals defining what could be and couldn't be discussed at times in Arkansas public school classrooms. From how to frame the United States history with racism and discrimination, to whether the New York Times-supported 1619 Project could be used to support curriculum. These sort of legislative conversations are taking place in many states and have some educators concerned. Jared Middleton, a teacher in the Springdale Public School District, is concerned enough to organize a rally to express distaste for what he says are efforts that could compromise the discussion of history in schools. The rally, at a Trail of Tears marker in Fayetteville, was earlier this month. Middleton came to the Carver Center for Public Radio last week, and he says the rally was just the second time he's ever participated in a public rally, and it's the first time he's ever organized such an event.
The point of it was to simply for our educators to stand in solidarity, to pledge the truth that we won't lie to our students, regardless of legislative attempts to block that. I know here in Arkansas there's been at least three attempts since 2017. Missouri just recently passed one. Tennessee recently passed one. Florida. Just all over the country this is happening. That these bills are being passed to just censor the truth about our history and the role racism played in it.
Do you remember a moment when you said, okay, I've got to organize this? Was there a particular piece of legislation or a particular moment?
Actually, no, the particular moment was when I got the call to action, so to speak, from Zen Education Project. Part of their mailing group and part of that, I'm just part of their mailing list, and I use them as a resource in the classroom. I've used them as a resource in the classroom. And it was just wonderful resource to begin with. They called, they sent out a call to action two or three weeks prior to June 12th. And I hesitated, mm-hmm. but then I'm thinking, no, I got to do this. So emailed and said I signed up that I was going to pledge the truth with their survey that they had. And then emailed and finally just said, yeah, I'll do it. And then from there, just kind of a snowball, if you will.
I may have had history classes where there may or may not have been intention to leave something out. It was just the classic definition of ignorance. It wasn't taught to me because it wasn't known.
Right.
As opposed to, you can't say this about United States and racism.
Right. I get what you're saying. It's still teaching honest history, regardless if there's legislative blocks against it. For instance, the history books that you and I grew up learning from spent, what, maybe two sentences on the topic of slavery. Mm-hmm. And it was lighthearted. It didn't speak of the horrors that slavery caused. For me, it's a matter of really just filling in the holes and being honest about these institutions and being honest about racism and its role in the history of this country. I mean, we can't. The problem that I've come across is just simply the acknowledgement of it. Mm-hmm. It's getting past that acknowledgement, because it feels like any time that I want to bring this up or I want to talk about it, or if I'm approached about it, I say anything about racism or I say anything about we're descendant from colonizers, then they feel like that's an attack on their identity. And that's not what I'm trying to do. That's not the point. It's not about white guilt or black victimization. It's about teaching the truth, and let's have a critical, honest conversation about that. And if you're feeling salty about it, let's examine why you're feeling that way, and we can go from there.
So the people you're in front of during the school year are teenagers?
Yes, sir.
What's the conversation like with a different generation when you talk about equity and inclusion and the history of racism in the United States?
To put it simply, the reactions or the reactions that I get, especially towards the end of the school year, because at the beginning of the school year, that's at the tail end of the protest, the summer of protests, mm-hmm. you know.
After the George Floyd
yes,
murder.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Absolutely. And so I had, you know, some more white students, all lives matter. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, let's, you know.
Dig into that.
You know, we started to, but I'm like, we've got all year, man. so we'll approach this with kid gloves, you know. By the end of the year, and a lot of the students anyway, were like, that's not right. That's not fair. Why is this happening? You know, and just really asking legitimate, honest, candid questions about these things. So it's not a matter, again, what I go back to, it's not a matter of me teaching one thing or the other. It's me having honest conversations with student-initiated conversations, you know. They're asking really relevant questions, and I'm not going to lie to my students and just say, or gloss over and say, no, we can't talk about that. Mm-hmm. We'll have that honest conversation, and that's and that's really where critical thinking comes into play, and that's what, you know, just I could spend quite a bit of time on this, but it just because it like history, it's one thing connects to another, and you know, once you start peeling back those layers, it's really kind of awesome. You know, there's a little bit of freedom in that, if you will. So,
finally, what were the conversations like with your fellow educators, including the ones from Missouri, including those who are Spanish speakers? When at the rally, did you have conversations during those hours?
We did. It was more of just befuddlement of other educators and others. Sorry, I'm going to bring up the demographics of it because it's if anything, it's telling to me that there were seven people there. We were all white, and I was the only male. Mm. And so one of the ladies that was there, she said that her husband's an educator but would not come because he didn't want to make that public statement. And I think that and that was some of the stuff that I was getting from others that were there. It's they don't want to be the public face. They don't want to be the public or a public voice or what have you. Behind closed doors, if you will, which is really kind of sad that you're limited to those conversations behind closed doors, which says something to the system, which says something to the system in itself. The fact that you've got teachers and people saying, yeah, we support you, but we're not going to join you. Okay.
Don't possibly want our faces on social media at this rally.
Yeah, we don't, you know, just we'll be your quiet supporter or something like that. Well, then that tells me that you recognize that there's a problem. The fact that you don't want to talk about it suggests that there's a problem. But behind closed doors, it's they're good conversations. It's a lot very similar thinking, just recognizing just honestly the truth about this country and where we are as a nation today, and really wanting to move forward to a much more inclusive and equitable future. And that's really what it's all about, you know, just recognizing the atrocities of our past, to understand the current present, to be able to move forward and have those conversations, to move forward to a more equitable and inclusive future.
Jared Middleton teaches in the Springdale Public School District and talked with us in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio last week.